Book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 19, if you would, and Revelation chapter 19, and I hope you do have your Bible, and you'll follow along with us in the Word of God. But sometimes one of the great challenges as a preacher is deciding what does the Lord want me to preach, you know. And so you look at that and you try to do it, you know, and try to get those things going. So I just seeking the Lord and what he'd have me to preach. And I just felt like he didn't want me to preach in Acts today. So we're in Revelation, right? Revelation chapter 19. I heard a preacher one time get up to preach and he said, just open your Bible to anywhere you want to because all of it's good. And that is true. So it is all good, and it can all be a blessing to us. But we're going to be in Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. The Bible said, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he had judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down, and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now we're going to leave off reading right there. And I want you to know that there's one word that shows up in our passage we've read four times. And surely you noticed it. That word is Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, it's only found four times in the Word of God. And all of them are right here, okay, in this verse. And now usually when we think of that word, we think of it being sung softly, you know. Hallelujah, Hallelujah. But can you imagine what it says here in verse 1? Amen. And it being sung softly? And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah. I just don't believe it would have been like that. And then we get down there into verse 6. There's a great voice, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering saying, Hallelujah. No, it wasn't that way, okay? It wasn't that way at all. That just wouldn't be right, wouldn't seem right. There's no way it would. And it just wouldn't work out. So actually that word is used to convey an adoring exclamation. That's what it's all about. It's an exclamation of praise. The word literally means praise ye Jehovah. All right? By the way, it's the same word we speak of as hallelujah. And by the way, hallelujah is the same word in any language. Same word in any language, hallelujah. All right? That's it. There's no translation. If you're south of the border and you're speaking to somebody there and you say, well, I don't know any Spanish, well, just say one word, they'll understand. Hallelujah! Now, they may look at you kind of strange and wonder what would cause you to do that, but that's what we do. It's praise ye the Lord, okay? Praise ye the Lord. It's fitting. It's very fitting that it's not found in your Bible until this point. Because in chapter 19, the tribulation period is at an end. The second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth is about to occur. The battle of Armageddon is just around the corner, okay? The battle of Armageddon just around the corner, all right? But it's at that point in time that we find that word four times, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to preach to you this morning just for a few minutes on the four hallelujahs that are here, all right? Because I believe they're here for a reason. I believe we could learn. I believe it could help us if we would. And that first one, I think it's hallelujah for what belongs to him. That him being the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Notice what it said there in verse 1. After these sayings, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Hey, these are things that belong to God. These are things that are worth saying praise the Lord over, all right? Hallelujah for these things that belong to him. That first one is so important to us, salvation. Salvation. Jonah chapter 2 verse 9 says salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. It belongs to him. It's what he does for us, okay? It's not what we do. It can only come from him. The only way you can get salvation is through a gift. The only way you can. Christmas time's coming. A lot of people are looking forward to gifts, and people are already starting to ask, what do you want? What do you want? I think my son or my daughter, one, we were all together on Thanksgiving, and I think one of them said, well, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? I said, nothing. There's nothing. The truth of the matter is the kind of things that I want are things that if I find them, I get them right then. Because if I don't get them, I may never have another chance. Because it's stuff that, you know, sometimes you can get it, sometimes you can't. You say, what in the world do you mean? Well, a lot of times it's books. And books that are out of print. So if I find one, if I find it and run across it, I have to get it. It's not something I can say, hey, put this on my Christmas list. Because the time Christmas runs around, that book may be gone. And I can't find it, so I get it, you know. It's not something that I wait on. You know, if you can find it, get it, and it's there, you know. What a blessing it is to do that and be able to have it. But wait a minute. When it comes to salvation, it doesn't work that way. I can't just pick it up. Hey, it's a gift. I had to receive it as a gift. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. If you've got it, you received it as a gift. It's the only way you could get it, all right? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God. The gift of God. And so many people in our day don't understand that. So many people in the religious world today do not understand that. You say, preacher, why are you dwelling on this morning? We understand. I don't know if you do or not. And the reason I say that is because I've talked to a lot of people that go to church, and when you start talking to them about salvation and knowing they're going to heaven and how they know, they begin to talk about what they've done. Hey, I want to tell you what, I don't care what you've done. It will not keep you out of heaven, nor can it get you into heaven. Doesn't matter. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. No, probably don't want to know. But I'm telling you, the gift of God's eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. It's like every other gift. It had to be paid for. And he paid for it. He paid for it on Calvary. When he went to the cross, he went to the cross. And I'll remind you again and again and again because I need to remind myself. He went to the cross for me. He went to the cross for you to pay our sin debt. The Bible said he took our sin in his own body. Bore our sin in his own body on that tree. Why? To pay for salvation. To pay for that free gift that we could receive. And you say, well, how am I going to get it? You come to him by faith. By faith. By faith. That's the only way you can get it. Man, I don't know about you, but when it comes to salvation, praise the Lord. Hallelujah for salvation. All right? If you can't get excited about anything else, you ought to get excited about salvation. you've been saved, all right? Or, hey, you ought to get saved today, then you could get excited about it. And it ought to be something that excites you, okay, there. But notice what else it says there in verse 9, in verse 1 of chapter 19. It says salvation and glory. Glory. The Bible tells us in Psalm 29, verse 2, given to the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Given to the Lord the glory due unto His name. Glory speaks of splendor and magnificence. Splendor and magnificence. I don't have much of that. Truthfully, I don't have any of it. But man, our Lord has a bounteous supply of it. He possesses that glory and deserves that glory in great abundance. Why? You said, because one, He's the altogether lovely one. The Bible says He's the beautiful rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. He's the lily of the valley. He possesses that glory, and it is His. Look, if you will, back in Romans chapter 15, would you? Romans chapter 15. I want you to look at just one verse there. In Romans 15, down in verse 6, that the Bible tells us who are saved, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to glorify Him. Why? Because He deserves it, and we ought to praise Him for that glory that belongs to Him. The Bible said with one mouth, folks, that's one thing we do when we sing. That's one thing we do when we sing. We lift up glory to Him. With one heart, one mouth, we sing. So, well, I can't sing. It doesn't mean you got to have a great voice. Doesn't mean you got to have a good voice. It can be raspy. It can be off key. It can be flat. It doesn't matter. We ought to give Him, take that mouth and give Him the glory. Hey, hallelujah for the glory that belongs to Him. The glory that belongs to Him. But notice the Bible says honor. Honor belongs to Him. Honor. That refers to a good name or public esteem. There is no better name than the name of Jesus Christ. You say, well, how great is it? Go back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You say, how great is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, according to the Bible, this is what God says about it in Philippians 2, verse 9. The Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, at the name of Jesus. Hey, not at the name of Allah, not at the name of Confucius, not at the name of education, not at the name of anything or anybody else, but only at the name of Jesus. Why? Because God gave Him a name that's above every name. Can I say this? You ought to be careful how you use that name. You ought to be careful how you use that name. That name should never be a byword. You shouldn't use it as that. No, it shouldn't be that way at all. That name, Jesus, is a name that's above every name. Shouldn't be used in a kind of an expletive way, you know, of, well, Jesus Christ. No, you be careful about that. You be careful about that. You better think when you use that name, that great name, it deserves honor. Honor. Man, hallelujah. Hallelujah for that. Honestly, it ought to be, man, the name of Jesus. We just say that and people say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? Because that's the name above every name. No name like it. But then the Bible says salvation, glory, honor. Then it says power. Amen. Power. Oh, my soul, there is none more powerful. We use the word omnipotent to describe Him. That's a fancy word that means all powerful. All powerful. All power rests with Him. All power rests with him. You can count on it, all right? Man, how much more can you say that he's got all power? He's got all power. So these folks here in chapter 19, there was a great voice of many people saying, hallelujah. Why? Because salvation and glory and honor and power, all of those things are in him, in our Lord. Hallelujah for that. Hey, hallelujah for what God, what belongs to our God. But not only that, but hallelujah for what he's done. For what he's done. Look at verse 3, would you? Look there in verse 2 and then verse 3. The Bible says, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. Notice then it says, he's avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Oh, man, we don't get excited about judgment. Usually we don't get excited about judgment. But there's judgment we ought to get excited about, all right? The world system that's taken the lives of countless saints of God going to be judged one of these days. That world system, now, this is going to bring tremendous. A lot of people really get bent out of shape, all right? But that great whore, when you read through it, talks about Babylon, but that Babylon is Rome. And the Bible plainly points that out in the book of Revelation, and I'm not going through all of it, but there's a church system that's headquartered in Rome that has been the cause of multitudes of God's people have lost their lives, all right? She's corrupted the earth with her fornication, the Bible said. That's true. Now, people don't like it today. You say, preacher, you ought not talk about other religions. The bad thing is the world, when it thinks of Christianity, the world thinks of Roman Catholicism. That is a warped Christianity. That is something that has been terribly messed up from biblical truth. And the Bible says, man, glory to God and hallelujah, she's going to be judged one day. She's going to be judged one day. You said, preacher, how can you say that? Well, because the Bible says it. The Bible says it's going to take place. And we can rejoice over that fact, all right? That world system that's taken the lives of countless saints of God is going to be judged. Man, if you ever, you're going to have to go look for it because it's not going to be taught in most colleges. But if you read through real church history, it's been watered with the blood of faithful believers. And they were killed by religious system. Just as Jesus Christ, his death was called for by the religious people of that day. It's religion that has brought about the death of multitudes of saints of God. All right? Multitudes of saints of God. Now, I got good news, though. You don't have to worry about having any fear of judgment if you've been born again. And if you'll live, just do what's right. Do what's right. You say, well, preacher, if we're saved, we don't have to worry about it. Well, you do have to worry about the chastisement of God. And that's why I say you need to live right, okay? We talk about God and we refer to him the Heavenly Father. Well, the Bible says he correcteth every son he receiveth. Now, I don't know how your dad did you, okay? But correction from my dad was never pleasant. Never was it pleasant. Now, he did not always get out the belt. Most of the time, he did. But I tell you what, it was bad enough just for him to sit down and say, and start talk to you. And the look he could give. But after I got older, I didn't want to disappoint my parents. And if I ever thought for a second I put a tear in my mom's eye, boy, it hurt. And if you let me say it, it hurt where you couldn't rub it, all right? And my friend, just the thought of my Savior, my God, looking at me with displeasure, every child of God ought to say, I don't want that to happen. Because I love Him. I love Him. Hey, you don't have to worry about fear of judgment. If you've been born again, then you do what's right. But not only that, the Bible says vengeance. The ungodly and the reprobate will get what they deserve one of these days. They're going to get what they deserve. Romans 12:19 says, vengeance belongeth to the Lord. It's not to you and me, but God. And hallelujah, hallelujah for what He's done. Hallelujah for what He's done. And then look at verse 4, would you? Look at verse 4. We find another hallelujah right there in verse 4. The Bible said, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne. Now notice, saying, amen, hallelujah. Amen means let it be so. These 24 elders the Bible talking about here were saying hallelujah and amen because they were in complete agreement with God. They were in complete agreement with Him. There was no disagreement between them at all. Hey, that amen, that hallelujah signified their full agreement. All right? Their full agreement. Man alive, how we need to be in agreement with the Lord. The Bible said in Amos 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed. If there's no agreement, we don't really walk together. Don't walk together. I used to, on days sometimes down at school, used to when it had rained and everything was soaking wet, we couldn't get out on the grass, kids couldn't play at P.E., I would take them out and I'd say, hey, we'll just go for a walk just to get out of the class. They were always happy to get out of the class, all right? And so we'll just go for a walk. So we'd take off and we'd be walking along and I'd intentionally let some of them get ahead of me. Because there's always some that think they know where they're going. And they'd get ahead of me and I'd turn and eventually they'd go. And here they'd come, all right? Now we couldn't walk together because we weren't in agreement. They thought we were going here, but no, we were going here, all right? We were going here. You and I, we can't walk with God unless we're in agreement with Him. In agreement. Hey, by the way, we're agreeing with Him, not Him agreeing with us. Hey, we agree with Him. He doesn't have to agree with us. We need to be in agreement with Him. You say, what does that mean? That means you need to find out what He says right here and say, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to believe. That's what I'm going to practice. And we can walk together in agreement. What a wonderful thing it is to walk together in fellowship with God. Man, what a blessing thing it is. And agree with Him. And we ought to be in agreement with Him because everything He does is perfect. Amen. Everything He does is perfect. Everything. Now, that's not true of what we do. We mess up. We mess up. I get tickled sometimes when people, they'll talk about an individual, maybe a teacher, a preacher, or somebody, they've read a book, and they're saying, I don't agree with everything. I don't agree with me all the time, much less somebody else, because I mess up. And later on, I have to stop and think, say, boy, that was a stupid thing to do. How could I have been so dumb, you know? And you say, well, when did you do that? That ain't none of your business, all right? I don't ask you to come tell me, so I'm not telling you. But I'll tell you what, I can be in agreement with Him because everything He does is perfect. Everything He does is perfect. You know what? God's people ought to go around shouting hallelujah just to let the world know we agree with Him. I'm in agreement with Him. I'm in agreement with Him. Some folks here in church, you're saying amen. Now, you don't say amen because you disagree. You say amen because you agree. Some of you say amen because it's like saying sic'em to a dog, all right? And get after it, all right? But we ought to shout hallelujah. Why? Let this whole world know I'm in agreement with God. What He says is right. It's right. We can count on it. What He does, perfect. Perfect. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah for what He is. For what He is. Hallelujah for what He's done. Hallelujah. We're in agreement with him. But wait a minute. You drop down there, if you will, to verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now, these 24 elders saw it as accomplished fact. But today, we sit here looking ahead, and it ought to be hallelujah for what's coming. For what's coming. Hey, we know what's coming. We know what's coming. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. I mean, we know what's going to take place. There's people today living hope. We talked about ball teams a while ago. My son and I, our tradition, the last Saturday before Christmas, we will be at Jerry's World watching high school football playoff games. We truly enjoy going. Now, we can sit there and enjoy being at a game, and it doesn't matter who wins most of the time. But every now and then, there's a team playing we're really rooting for. And we'll root for them. We've sat on the side. We'll go to high school games, and we'll sit on the side, on the visiting side sometimes, of a team that's come a long way to play, and we will stand up and go, yay, for a play. I had somebody ask us, you always sit on the opposing side and cheer for the other side? And we say, no, we're just cheering for a good play. We're just cheering for a good play. We don't care who makes it. We're not here for that team. We're not here for this team. We're here because we enjoy football. Hey, I'm here today excited and saying hallelujah because I know what's coming. I know what's coming. I know what's going to take place. The Bible says the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hey, now, he's in control, without a doubt. But when he comes back, he's going to reign right here. He's going to reign on this earth, all right? And he's going to set up his throne in Jerusalem. He's going to sit on the throne of David. And man, righteousness is going to go forth across this old earth. Hallelujah, what a time that's going to be. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, all right? But I kind of look forward to it. I don't know about you, but I get aggravated. I get aggravated at what's going on and what's happening to our land. I get aggravated because of the wickedness, disgustingness, that which is perverted is promoted. But I'll tell you what, one of these days, that's going to change. Because the Lord's going to come back and he's going to reign. There's not going to be. There's some things that are no longer going to be on this earth. The Bible says the lion and the lamb will lay down together. And the lamb won't be in the lion's stomach either, okay? They'll be able to lay down side by side. The Bible said the wilderness is going to blossom and the desert blossom as the rose. Now, I don't know about you, but some people say, well, there's some beauty in the desert. Not like a beauty that's in a rose. Just not. I mean, it doesn't take me too long to get tired of sand. It doesn't take me long to get tired of that. My brother and I, 1 year ago, we drove into Death Valley. And driving into Death Valley, he had the feeling that you're driving down in a bowl. I mean, you're just going downhill because it is a very low elevation. And I'm looking around, and the landscape is kind of stark. To me, there's not a great deal of beauty to it, you know. I much prefer Yosemite to Death Valley. The beauty of Yellowstone far exceeds that of Death Valley. And the Bible said one of these days, the desert's going to blossom as a rose. There's going to be no thorns on the roses. What a blessing that'll be. The Bible says there'll be peace. There'll be peace on this earth. There'll be peace on this earth. Hey, not in name only. Not just for a few days. But there's going to be 1,000 years he'll reign in peace. He's going to be God over all. There's not going to be any sin here. The tempter's going to be in the bottomless pit. He'll be there. Boy, what a time that will be. What a time. Boy, if you can't get excited about that thought of no sin, no sin, you'll be able to walk anywhere you want to walk on this earth with no fear. No fear. Last year, year before maybe, my wife and I, we visited in New Orleans. And I'll be honest with you, at night on the streets, I was ready to get inside. There wasn't a feeling of bliss and safety. It was, hey, there's that. But boy, that day's coming. There'll be peace. There'll be no sin. No cause for concern. Man, hallelujah for what's coming. Hallelujah for what's coming. Let me ask you this. You give him the praise you ought to give him. Well, preacher, it ain't here yet, but you know it's coming. You know it's coming. Do you give him the praise and the glory that's due to his name? Or do you use his name as a byword? Hey, do you praise him? Is it hallelujah for what he's done for you? Is there hallelujah because you're in agreement? Or is there really sometimes you go, well, God, I don't know why you're doing it. I want to ask you that. Do you have trouble giving him praise that is due him? Hey, I think two reasons could be for that. One is you're not confident you belong to him. You're not really positive that you've been born again. You can't say with certainty, preacher, I'm not worried about death. I'm not worried about dying. I know I'm saved. I'm ready to go. No problem. Now, you might mouth those words, but in that heart, there's a little bit of concern. Because back there somewhere, there's some doubt. Hey, there doesn't need to be that. You don't have to live that way. Maybe that's why you don't give him the praise that belongs to him. But also, that second reason that maybe you don't is because you just aren't right with him. There's something between you and the Lord today. There's something between you and that Savior that died for you. And the truth be told, if he came back today and found you exactly the way you are, you'd be ashamed to stand before him. Let me say this. If that's you, then this is the place to get it right. This is the time to take care of that. Hey, a lot of times we can't praise the Lord because we're not in agreement with him. We've just got something. We don't think he did right. We don't think he treated us right. We don't think, you know, he's done the right thing. And all we've got is questions. You say, preacher, is it wrong to question the Lord? It's not wrong to question. It depends on your attitude when you question. If it's why, Lord, that you help me to understand, that's another. But if it's why in the sense of how could you, then you got a problem with God. You ought not to have that. Everything he does is right. You may not understand it, but everything he does is right. Hey, is there a problem you need to get situated today? So you could really stand and shout hallelujah. You could have been with that throng that shouted with a voice of many thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. There are some people, I think, as Christians, they're a little bit leery of getting excited about his coming because they got some plans they want to get done, and they know they don't coincide with what God wants. Hey, listen, if he wants to come back right now, Even so come, Lord Jesus. Would he come? But are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to meet him? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning?